Find your Bibles this morning. Open those to the book of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Easy book to find. Comes right before the book of Mark. Right in the middle of your Bible. Matthew chapter 1. I want to speak to you this morning concerning Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I hope that it will bring some enlightenment to your soul and will help you appreciate the Holy Spirit a little more than in the past. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 20, first of all, gives you kind of the context of the chapter and what's going on there. Of course, the announcement of Mary's conception by the Holy Spirit of God is being made to Joseph. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're so grateful that you've allowed us to be here this morning. I trust and pray now that all of our hearts and minds might be attentive unto what you might be saying to us today. Holy Spirit, have your way and your will, not only in my life, but in those who are listening for you to speak to them through your word. I pray your guidance this morning. I pray for liberty to think and to speak and conscience. I pray for unction that it might go forth with the power and authority of Almighty God. I pray now that every listener might be attentive and might go to the heart and not just to the head. We'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Before I jump into that, I want you to notice a few things in the text verses. Verse number 20 says, to Joseph, not to fear to take Mary unto thee to be thy wife, for that which is conceived, that which is created, the procreation of life, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior, of course. And then he gives the interpretation and he says, for he shall save his people from their sins. May I remind you that the important thing in life is not about how good you are, because you can never be good enough. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So if we're trying to get to heaven outwardly, it's an impossible deal. That's why Jesus came. He had no sin. He was born without an earthly father, but with an earthly mother who gave him a physical body, Mary. You find it said that that which is conceived, that which has life, the beginning of life at conception. You and I believe that abortion is murder. Why don't they call it what it is? You know, and these women rioting and carrying their placards and saying it's our right, you know, the right of the woman and so on and so on. What about the rights of the unborn child? Because it is an unborn child. It's a human being. God's given life. And only God can give life. And it's conceived they've gone through and conceived by whatever, you know, whether in marriage or out of marriage, right or wrong. Nevertheless, it's a life. And why don't they, instead of calling it abortion, which is a kind word, or the rights of the woman, why don't they call it murder? We've given rights to women to murder their children. Their unborn children. Exactly what it is. Notice that that which was conceived in Mary is from the Holy Ghost. In other words, God's life was in the womb of Mary, giving life to that egg there in that womb, quite honestly, and the flesh and blood body of Jesus had its beginning there. God didn't have a beginning there, but the body of Jesus had a beginning right there. Now, I dare say to you that in any Bible you open, and I don't like all the different translations. I don't like to hear this one says this and this one says that and this one says something else and something else and something else. Let's have a common order about things. And I believe the King James Bible is the one that has a standard for the English-speaking people today. And in every Bible that you have, if you open to John chapter 3, you will find the words of Jesus that says this. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. Now we talk about being good, we talk about being kind, we talk about doing the best we can. We talk about asking forgiveness for our little slip-ups and the things that go on in life. But in actuality, there's not one man among us or one lady or one child that's good enough in the flesh to merit heaven on their own. Not one, not even one. Jesus came to do away with the sins of the world by his pure righteous life. One who has no debt can pay the debt for others easily. Jesus did that. And you find that they call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall deliver his people from their sins. The church can't do that. Baptism can't do that. Being a good person can't do that. Jesus said, except a man be born a second time, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And no matter how many times you get baptized, it does nothing to give you a spiritual birth. As a matter of fact, baptism is a picture of death. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. And it has nothing to do with giving new life. It's an emblem of what Jesus did for us in suffering, dying, and being raised again to life. And that's the picture we show when we're buried in the water of the baptistry. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not long ago, I was knocking doors, and I came across an individual there, and we began talking about church and religion and various things. And I said, where do you go to church? Do you have a church? Oh, yeah, I have a church, and I go down here. And he named his place where he was going and so on. And I said, so if you died right now, you know you would wake up in heaven? And he got this fearful look on his face. Like, I mean, right now, it's not about next week, next year, or next month. It's right now. If you died right now, would you wake up in heaven? And he got this fearful look on his face. He said, I'm not sure. I don't know. He said, but you're a Baptist, and you believe this, and I'm this, and I believe this. I said, my friend, the Bible is a Bible to all of us. It's God's truth to all of us. I said, take your own Bible and turn to John chapter 3 and see where Jesus said, except you be born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, well, I've never heard that. I said, check it out. Jesus said it. It's in every Bible. And notice that he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Except a man be born again, except he have two births, one physical and one spiritual, he'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus came, was to die for the penalty of our sins, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered from the penalty of his sins, shall be saved. And that's what happens. When you call upon the name of the Lord to be delivered from the penalty of your sins, you're casting yourself by faith upon Jesus Christ himself. And at that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes in and makes your dead spirit alive. Now you have a second birth. You say, my spirit is not dead. Oh yeah, it is. You're born with a dead spirit because of a sin nature. A child is born with a sin nature. You say, I don't believe that. How many times do they cry when they really don't need anything? I've had them cry, you know, and you go in and you think, man, bloody murder, something's wrong with this baby. They either throw up or they you know, got a wet diaper or they're hungry, something's wrong. And you go in and the very moment you flip on the light and look into the crib, they smile at you. Now that's a sinful nature. They just lied to you. They just said something's wrong, bad wrong, and got you up in the middle of the night and you went in there and there was nothing wrong at all. They just wanted you to hold them. You get it? We're born with a sin nature. Ephesians chapter 2 says we were born in that sin nature and we were dead in trespasses and sins, dead, separated from God, dead in trespasses and sins. But when we trusted Jesus Christ, and I don't mean you trust this church. I don't mean you trust this baptistry. I don't mean you trust necessarily this Bible, but you trust Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God in the flesh, for your deliverance, and he will save you and give you the new birth. That's what it's all about. Every time someone trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and you're born again, the very same miracle that happened right here in the womb of Mary takes place again in the life of an individual. Every single time someone trusts Jesus Christ and becomes born again, there is a life of the Holy Spirit that goes on. The light goes on and the life goes on inside of every individual when they trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not about works. It's not about you know, all the things we do or we're told to do in order to get eternal life. It's what Jesus says. It's what Jesus says that counts. Now, I want you to see that Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I want you to see the similarities here. May I go back and say, we believe in one God, do we not? But we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three personalities of God. And one of the things that I like my definition better than I like some of the ones I've read about, and they say, well, H2O. The man is similar to H2O. H2O can be a gas, a liquid, or a solid, but it's still H2O. I said, that's fine. I believe God gave me a definition not long ago that I understand a whole lot better. You're created in the image and likeness of God. You're a body, a soul, and a spirit. A body, soul, and spirit. Your body, of course, you can see it, you can touch it. You have the five senses that relate you to the earthly things, you know, smelling, seeing, hearing, unless you're blind, dumb, and deaf like I am. You get to hear and see all kinds of things. You have a soul, which is self-consciousness. And it is self-awareness, but it is also where your emotions come from. Your hate, your envy, your love, your jealousy, your pride, your ego. All of those things come from the soul. But the spirit is dead in every individual until it is born again, until you cast yourself upon Jesus Christ and say, look, I need help. There's no one else and nothing else that can help me. I need help. We've been brainwashed to think by denominationalism, we've been brainwashed to think that my goodness adds to my acceptance of God and He to me and allows me to get to heaven because I am a certain way. That's not so. In fact, he says in Romans, there is none good, not even one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Not one, but Jesus Christ is. So Jesus comes to die in our place and give us his righteousness that we might be born again. Now, when we are born again, we have a living spirit. That's where you worship God. Before your spirit is born anew, it's dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. But when you're born again, now you have a living spirit. Get a spirit. Guess what? Jesus met a woman at a well in John chapter 4, and they were talking about how to worship God and where to worship God, and you go to the temple to worship God. And Jesus was saying, look, woman, you don't know where to go or how to worship. I'm of the Jews, we know our God. And so she was saying, he came about and he said, God seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you with me? Now, when your spirit's born again, you can worship God. Up until that time, you only worship God in the flesh. Romans chapter 6 says, we were not born again by the flesh or the power of the flesh. And we can't please God in the flesh. So any outward form of worship that is of the flesh is not pleasing to God. If you read John chapter 4, he says it pleases God that we worship him in spirit. That spirit that is born again and in truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. The Bible is truth. This ought to be the reference that you go to prove everything you believe. If you can't prove it right here, then it's not any good at all. If you can't prove why you do what you do from the Word of God, if God's Word does not say, thus saith the Lord God, right here, you do this, you do this, you do this. There's so much tradition and so much fantasy in religion today that sends people to hell. Religion sends more people to hell than a drunkard on a corner of the street somewhere. Listen, religion is awful. Religion is man's idea about God's way and God's heaven and God's salvation. Man's idea, religion. Well, our denomination believes this and this and this. How'd you get so far off, sinner? Well, you Baptists think you're only ones that's right. No, we don't. But we feel like we are right because we follow word verbatim the holy book that God has given us. If you can't find it here, then it's not true. Now look, God is one God, Elohim, a triune God. The EL before Elohim references the plurality of the Hebrew language. In Hebrew, it takes three or more to make a plural. In English, two or more make a plural. But in Hebrew, where the Old Testament was written, it says, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. It meant a triune God, a personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all had a part in creation. But we're told by John in the book of John chapter 1 that it was this same Jesus who created, who was the one that spoke and the worlds came into existence. Wow, he's more than a savior. He's a creator. No wonder he can walk on water. No wonder he can speak and the storms be still. No wonder he can cast the demonic spirits and they obey him out of individuals. Jesus is God in the flesh and he has the power over all. Others have said that the Holy Spirit is the other self of Jesus. Now wait, careful, watch this. I want you to see some things. They said the disciples told Jesus one day, they said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. You remember what Jesus said to them? He said, how long a time have I been with you and you have not known me? Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now wait, listen. Jesus is not the Father. And the Father is not Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is not Jesus. But we have one God that you and I are created after. There's one being here. There's one commonality. There's one unity right here in this body. You can't see my soul. You can't see my spirit, but you see my flesh. When we look at Jesus, we don't see spiritually. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we see God? We see the flesh. We see Jesus. Yep. That's what we're going to see when we get to heaven. But Jesus said to his disciples, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, the triune being. There's a difference in the soul and the spirit. I can tell you quite honestly that my soul oftentimes has some dreadful thoughts. My soul sometimes would like to bump that person in front of me that just cut in me in the traffic. I mean, it's a little rage once in a while. The flesh has a weakness for fried chicken and French fries and ice cream. Kathy made me take her to that marble slab. Isn't it marble slab up here? She made me take her there the other day. I was so ashamed, so embarrassed. She ate like a horse. Of course, I didn't want her to feel alone, so I ate one with her. You know, she had her own and I had my own, but hey, the flesh is weak sometimes. But the spirit, when it's born again, is without sin. You cannot sin in the spirit. Your spirit has the life of God. It's born of the life of God. That's why they call you a son of God, a child of God when you're born again. You're not automatically a child of God just because you go to church somewhere of some denomination or other. You're not a child of God until you've been born by his life. You're born again into the family of God. So you can look at me and I can tell you, you see my soul. You see my spirit. When you see me, you see all of me. I'm a triune being. But you only see the flesh, right? So when we look at Jesus, we see Jesus Christ. We see the flesh. But he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit from the time he was a little fellow. He had the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God upon him as he grew in stature and wisdom and power with God and man. So I read after an author who claims the Holy Spirit is the other self, Jesus. That can kind of sort of technically be true. Because if Jesus says, look, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are not three gods. They're three distinct parts of one God, and they're all unified. In other words, they are all after the same goal. They all have the same conclusion. They all have this unity and bondage of person in God. Now, I can tell you honestly, your spirit and your soul clash. Your soul and your spirit clash. When I would do good, Paul said, evil is present with me. When I would do God's will, there's that pulling towards the dark side that sometimes I mess up. That's a sin nature. The spirit doesn't have that. It's been born again by God's life, and now it's eternal, and now it has no sin nature, but the soul still does. Your emotions, sometimes when you're led by your feelings, well, I just don't feel like doing this. I just don't feel like, or I love this, but I hate that. You cannot be led by your emotions. It'll get you in trouble 100% of the time. You cannot be led by the physical body because it has appetites and desires that will get you in trouble sometimes. It's like, now I have to lose an extra 5 pounds because I gave in to Miss Kathy the other day and took her for ice cream. It's always something I dread and hate to do, you know, but I just have to do it because of my position. I really enjoyed eating the ice cream, though. So the Holy Spirit has been proclaimed by some as the other self of Jesus. Now I want you to stay with me. I want you to look at some scriptures that tie the two together. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, I want you to look very quickly. I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit today and how He helps us and what he's here for. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, when John writes that, what's he saying? He's saying, hey, all you little kids out. No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is, children of God, you've been born again. And John is writing to those who are born again. You can find it in the 5th chapter of 1 John, where he says, I'm writing these things to you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. But here he says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Don't listen to the flesh and sin. Don't listen to the emotions and sin, but follow after the Spirit. And here's what he says. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have an advocate. What is an advocate? Well, it's like a lawyer. A lawyer on your behalf pleads your case. Jesus Christ on our behalf is an advocate. He's died for our sins. You had nothing to do with getting rid of the sin penalty in your life. You're on your way to hell without Jesus Christ. You're on your way to hell without hope and without help if you're trusting the church or you're trusting the preacher or you're trusting some of your friends or someone else. You're without help and without hope and on your way to hell. But Jesus Christ is our advocate. He died for our sins on the cross. And He knows all of His sheep. He knows everyone that's been saved. And John writes and he says, my little children, you that's been born again, you that are saved, you should not be sinning, but sometimes you do. And if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. Notice that advocate is not Elijah. It's not Moses. It's not St. Peter. It's not John. Notice that advocate with the Father is Jesus Christ Himself, the Savior. He's our advocate. He's our high priest. He's our lawyer. He's our go-between. And when Satan goes before the throne of God and says, do you know what Ben just did? You know what Ben did and sinned against? You ought to kick him out and send him to hell. And Jesus Christ says, no, wait a minute. I paid for that sin. My blood bought that sin. He's covered under my blood. We have an advocate, a lawyer, a go-between, Jesus Christ, our advocate. I want you to think about that. That word advocate in the King James Version is also equal to the word comfort or comforter. Comforter, an advocate, a comforter. Now stay with me. The Holy Spirit has the same name given to Jesus as advocate and comforter. If you turn to John chapter 14, John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse number 16 and 17 and 18, I wanted to show you something. John 14. In John chapter 13 and 14, Jesus is preparing His disciples. He's saying, I'm going away. I'm going to die. And then after the resurrection, I'm going back to heaven. And he's preparing his disciples and they don't get it. They just don't listen. They don't understand. But he's trying to prepare them. And John chapter 14 is part of that. And Jesus is giving instruction. Notice in verse number 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father." Now he's telling them, "I'm going away. I'm going back to heaven where I came from." And he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Now, Jesus has been called the advocate, which is also the comforter, meaning one that I call upon when I need help. Man, they would bring the blind, the lame, the sick, the demonically controlled people to Jesus, and they would say, "He needs help, he needs help, we need help." Divine men on the highway when Jesus was going by, they said, oh Lord Jesus, come and touch us that we might see. I believe in John chapter 10 or John 9. They were blind, but they knew Jesus had the power. They understood who Jesus was, our comforter, our helper, our advocate. Now the Holy Spirit has that same name. You notice Jesus called him by that name in verse 16. "I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Now, if you would allow me, I want you to look at this word "another" very quickly. Hold your place in John 14. Look at Galatians chapter 1 over a few books. Look in Galatians chapter 1. I want to show you something. I want to go down to verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Notice Paul is dealing with heresy within the church at Galatia. There's a church there. Paul is trying to tell them that somebody has come in and lied to them about Jesus Christ and lied about the gospel message and tried to insert a different message within them. I dare say that Mormonism today is another gospel. They claim it themselves. They say in the Book of Mormon, "We are another gospel of Jesus Christ." And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Here's what Paul says about that and deals with. In Galatians 1:6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Now here's the word "another." In the English language, it basically means the same, but by the context, we have to understand what it means. If you go to the Greek language has a different preposition and a different ending that plainly states this is a different word than this word is. But when you see the word "another" in the English, it's always there. But look, in verse number 6, when he says "another gospel," it means another of a different kind. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another kind of the gospel." In other words, not the original gospel, not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but another gospel, like the Mormons claim that Adam is the Father God and that all the children of Adam become gods of their own eventually in another world. But notice, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." A different kind. Keep on reading, verse 7. "Which is not another." And that word "another" means another of the same kind. Now I told you the English language you have to differentiate. In the Greek language it's already there by preposition and ending. Verse 6 means another gospel. Another. A different kind. Verse 7 means another. And it means the same kind. Notice verse 7 says, "Which is not another." In other words, there's not another gospel that is the same gospel as Jesus Christ that's just as good as. There is not another person that can save you other than Jesus Christ. There is not another church that can save you other than Jesus Christ. There's not another faith. There is not another doing. There is not another kind of good news that can save you other than Jesus Christ. You got it, right? Now you go back to John chapter 14. And when Jesus is speaking in verse number 16, he says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. It means of the same kind. Of the same kind. I will give you another comforter of the same kind as Jesus is. You got it? Notice. And I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. The word comforter means one who's called alongside, one who's an intercessor, one who consoles, one who's an advocate, one who comforts us, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Bible is truth. Now, not all the footnotes in the Bible, that's not part of the Bible, that's man-made. All the references put in the Bible are not the Bible. That's references that man put in there. But the words in the Bible are God's words put there by the Holy Spirit of God himself. You can believe it. And that's why I say you need to go to John chapter 3 in your own Bible. In any denomination that has a certain Bible, John 3 will always speak about the Spirit being born again. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He dwelleth with you. It means he stays with you. He continues with you. He remains. He's present with you. He endures and remains with you. The Holy Spirit of God. The very moment that you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence and lives inside of your body. I can't see the Holy Spirit in you, but I see the evidence because of the fruit. Notice, he says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now listen very carefully. In the first part of chapter 14, Jesus is talking about going away, back into heaven, preparing a place for the rest of us to follow him when he comes again. But in this particular context, if you notice this, he's not talking about going away into heaven and not being here anymore and so on. Notice what it says. Even this, I will send another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. What does it mean? Comfortless means literally as an orphan. As an orphan with no father, no mother. Jesus said, I'll not leave you as orphans. There's no one here to take care of you. There's no one here to have compassion on you. There's no one here to provide for you. There's no one here to guide you. There's no one here to help you. As an orphan, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. Notice, I will come to you. Jesus said, I will come to you. Well, now what's he about to do? He's about to send the other comforter. Now think about it. Here's God in his person. He's a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And yet all three agree with each other. There's not a bit of difference. All three have the same attributes. All three have the same personality traits. All three desire the same things. All three are in contact with the other two. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Is that basically like what he said when he told the disciples, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Is that basically the same? Well, show us the Father. I can't. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you remember what the Bible states, no man has seen God at any time, face to face. All the great prophets of Old Testament, all the disciples of New, we know Jesus Christ by faith. We've seen him with our eyes of faith. We know him. He lives inside of us. And he says, I have to go away. He's talking about his body. He's saying, I have to go away. It's needful for me to go away. I'm going away physically. Because the physical body of Jesus Christ could not be everywhere at the same time. He said, it's profitable for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, then the other comforter can't come. But I will send him to you. And he says, and I will come to you. So the very person of God is Elohim, shows up as the comforter, as the Holy Spirit. I will come to you. Now look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance of whatsoever I have said. Verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Notice that he said this again. I go away and come again unto you. The literal rendition of that is, I will be away from you and I will be with you. That sounds like a completely different thing unless you understand God speaking here. He says, I will be away from you. Physically, you will not see me, but I will be with you spiritually. Now, a lot of church members say, hey, I wasn't there Sunday in body, but I was there spiritually. I can't get an offering from a spirit. I can't get a holy grunt from a spirit. I don't know that they're here. I can't see them. Right? Oh, I was there in spirit. No, you weren't. You can't separate your spirit from your body. But God can. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I well please, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descended upon the person of Jesus Christ. Three in one. One God. Wow. I will be present with you. In John chapter 15, in verse number 26, but when the Comforter is come, speaking about the Holy Spirit, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Spirit of truth. Religion differs . Denominations differ. You ever wondered why we don't all agree and we don't all believe the same thing? Maybe it's because we're not all relying upon that Holy Spirit of truth, that some have their own ideas, their traditions, their trappings, their traditions, more than the truth. Thy word is truth. If you can't find it in the Bible, it's not so. A lot of the things that other faiths believe, you can't find in the Bible. Unless it's a footnote that man put there. God didn't write it. So we have differing beliefs. The reason being, they're not all following the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as he said here. He is the Spirit of truth. He is our consolation. He is our friend. When the Comforter is come, this is before the ascension of Jesus Christ. This is before his death, burial, and resurrection. He's telling the disciples, when I call the other Comforter and send him, when the Comforter is here, when he's come, the other Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now I want you to look at John chapter 16. Stay with me. I want to tie all this together in a moment. In John chapter 16, verse 5, Jesus says, but now I go my way to him that sent me. I'm going back to the Father. I'm going back to heaven, he says. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Expedient, what does it mean? It means it's profitable. It's of help. It's helpful. Expedient. It's helpful for you. It's profitable for you that I leave here and go back to heaven. Wait a minute, wait a minute. They had cast their all on Jesus. When they were hungry, they sought out Jesus and he fed them. When they were sick, they sought out Jesus. He healed them. When they were afraid, they sought out Jesus and he gave them calmness and peace. When the storms were arising, Jesus stilled it all and called them of little faith. But it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus that took care of them all the time. And now he's saying, I'm going away. And suddenly they're full of anxiety, realizing that the one they had handled, the one they had hugged, the one they had loved, the one they had followed, the one that they had seen and heard of was going away. He said, I know you're troubled, but look, don't be troubled. The Spirit of truth will be here to guide you and to help you continuously. He says, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that is the other Comforter, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Holy Spirit of God, Jesus would send. He's already here. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, believe it or not. There's no second baptism of the Spirit. That happened on the day of Pentecost. Baptism of the Spirit, you hear it in a lot of denominations. It only simply means, what it means is that God took the Jew who hated the Gentile and the Gentile who hated the Jew, and he merged them together in the church of the living Lord, the church of Jesus Christ, not the denomination, but the literal church of Jesus Christ, the mergence of the heathen and the Jew and the Christian has come by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's given the ability to love one another and be in unity with one another and work with one another through the new birth. It's a literal thing. And it already has happened. You find in John chapter 16 in verse number 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, Jesus says, but you cannot bear them. You can't understand them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Here's the problem. We have men guiding us instead of the Spirit. We have men saying, this is what we're supposed to do. And they have the trappings and the vestments and all the ordinances and all the things that men say this is what we're supposed to do, rather than the Spirit of truth. When he has come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you. What does it mean? What does it mean, guide, guide? It means to lead on your way, to be a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher of the Book of God, the Word of God. If any man wants to know the truth, the Holy Spirit will show him right from the Word of God. He is a guide. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The word guide. I want you to look very quickly in the book of Acts, chapter 8. The same word guide. The word guide. Acts chapter 8. Verse 29. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Actually, you find the story of Philip, who was told by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to leave off his preaching in the city and go down and meet this eunuch out in the desert. In verse 27, and he, Philip, arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Now notice verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me, or some man should show me the way, or show me the truth? How can I understand, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The eunuch desired to know the truth of the scriptures, and God gave him a guidance by the power of the Holy Spirit through a man named Philip to show him the truth of the scriptures that was talking about Jesus Christ being crucified in the book of Isaiah. Isn't it great? Well, the Holy Spirit is a guide. Verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And that's what he's talking about. Back in John chapter 16 and verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You want to know the truth? Start reading your Bible and praying. God, help me understand. Holy Spirit, give me understanding. He will. He's the Spirit of truth. He's a guide. He's the teacher. Notice that the Bible calls Jesus our consolation, but it also calls the Holy Spirit a consolation. The names intertwine. In Luke chapter 2, I need to hurry, but Luke chapter 2, in verse 25, Jesus was a baby. After 40 days of Mary giving birth, she went to the temple to give a sacrifice for herself and for the young baby. And the Bible says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting, listen, for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the helper of Israel. Waiting for the guide of Israel, the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Simeon, the old prophet in the temple, waited day and night because God had told him he was not going to die until he saw the Son of God in person, until he saw the consolation of Israel. Notice what he says, verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Wow, what a great thing. So he was talking about the consolation of Israel, Jesus Christ being the consolation. But you read on and you find in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2, Paul writes and he says, if there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if there is a consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit in Christ, if there be any bowels, any bowels and mercies, compassions of Christ. He goes on, he says, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Jesus Christ is called the consolation. Consolation meaning an encouragement, a purpose to strengthen your faith, a comfort, a solace. It's related to the word comforter. So consolation from his presence, Jesus Christ, he is your comforter. He's your paraclete. If there be any help from the helper, then be not discouraged. God writes about it in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm not going to go there. But he talks about the anchor of our hope, the anchor of our soul. In other words, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Jesus is our hope because he died for our sins. He's our Savior. The Holy Spirit gives testimony to him, and the Holy Spirit is in the place of Jesus here right now. Now, wait a minute. Jesus plainly spoke and said, what the Holy Spirit hears, he will teach you and guide you, what he hears from heaven. But the Holy Spirit doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. It's faith in Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit is our consolation while Jesus is gone. Jesus said, I'll give you another comforter. I'll give you another consolation. And I will come to you. Jesus has come to us in spirit. He's here. He's in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he's the same person. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. The Father is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit, and that's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying in oneness, God in oneness is here. Jesus said, I will give you another comforter, just like me. Our consolation is in Jesus Christ. The same name for Jesus is applied to the Holy Spirit again. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, notice it says, the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. Man, the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus and others, the Romans, the heathen were all persecuting the churches in that early day and putting people to death. And it says, and the churches had great rest in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, here's the key, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. In the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is not here to give comfort, but the Holy Spirit is here to give comfort. Jesus is in heaven physically, but the Holy Spirit is here. He dwells within inside of every born-again believer, and especially within the local New Testament church. He dwells in a most powerful way. The same name for Jesus was applied to the Holy Spirit as a consolation, as a comforter, as a paraclete, one called alongside for the help. We're walking and should be walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God, our advocate, our guide, our helper that Jesus sent in his place. John chapter 15, verse number 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. How's it done unto you? Holy Spirit brings it to pass. Holy Spirit helps answer our prayers. The Holy Spirit is here. Well, the men and the disciples in Jesus' day went straight to Jesus. They didn't pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now give us some ice cream and help us along our way. They went to Jesus for help. They went to Jesus for guidance. They went to Jesus for healing. They went to Jesus for direction. They went to Jesus to know the truth. He's not here. He's physically back in heaven. But he said, I will send you another comforter of the same kind that I am. The very same thing that I am, I send you another. I will not leave you like orphans. I will not leave you to yourself. I will send you another. You can console with him. You can ask his direction. You can ask him to reveal truth. You can ask him for healing. You can ask him for purpose. You can ask him the same things you ask me, and he will answer. Because he is that comforter that is called alongside to help you. Jesus was the comfort to his people while here on earth. They asked him all the questions. When they got in trouble, they went to him and called upon him. They carried the sick to him for him to heal. When they needed comfort, they sought him out. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? The disciples were in the ship that night in the storm, and the waters were coming over the side. And the Bible says, and Jesus was below deck asleep. And they went to him and shook him and said, do you not care that we're about to drown here? Jesus said, O ye of little faith. And he rebuked the wind and calmed the sea with one word. And Jesus said, I send you another comforter of the same kind as I am. One who has the power to still the sea and calm the wind. One who has the power to know the future and give direction. One who has the power to guide you into all truth. After all, isn't life all about truth? But you know what? Most people care little about truth anymore. They go by their feelings. They go by their emotions. And they're going to be doomed because they do. Truth is valuable. Truth, at all costs, get truth. The Holy Spirit is the last thing I have for you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter now to people here upon the earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want you to notice 2 Corinthians 1, we've read it, we've preached on it before, but here it is in a different light. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, he's speaking to the church at Corinth, in the city of Corinth, with all the saints which are in Greece, Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. In other words, praise be God. Glorified is God. We're so thankful and grateful to our God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There's that word, comfort, comforter, consolation. All one and the same. He is the God of all comfort, who comforteth us, who stills our anxieties, who heals our troubles, who gives us direction when we're confused, who helps us in every area of life. He's the God who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort or console or encourage or strengthen others which are in any trouble by the comfort which we ourselves are comforted of God. Notice in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Our encouragement. God comforts us down here every day. Our troubles, our problems, our anxieties, our confusion, our doubts, our worries comforts us. How? By the person of the Holy Spirit, who gives direction, who gives guidance, not based upon your emotions, but based upon truth. You may not like the answer he gives you. You may not like the solution that he puts before you, but it will always be according to truth, never according to emotion. Oh, we could read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 2, verse 31 through 39, that talks about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit giving solution to the disciples. But it all comes back to John chapter 16 and verse 7 that I close with. John 16, 7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. They wanted Jesus to stay with them. But he told them, I tell you the truth, it's expedient. It's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the other Comforter, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Okay. I'm reminded. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. God comes to us. God, all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, God, the triune God, comes to us. The Holy Spirit comes to us. You say, well, I don't want to bother God with my little bitty issue. Nothing's too small for you to take before God. Nothing's too big for you to take before God. The greatest thing you could ever ask God is for Him to make pure and truthful and straight and simple the plan of salvation. How do I get to heaven? Because I'm telling you that 90% of religion has it all wrong. They're not centering and focusing upon Jesus Christ. They're going off on tangents in different directions. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, not by another prophet, not by Mary, not by another disciple, not by a church, not by a baptism, by me, he said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's our Savior, our advocate, our intercessor, our lawyer, our truth. Father, I pray now.